Let's turn to our scripture reading for today, which you can find in Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. And I believe, according to the bulletin, you can find that scripture reading on page 1023 of your pew Bibles. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They reply, "Well, we have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them to me." And then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven. He blessed and he broke the loaves and the 2 fish. And he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You'll forgive me. I think these beautiful flowers, while they look beautiful, I think they're causing my allergies to act up. So, oh well, you know. So again, it's a great honor to be with you on this very special Sunday in your community. I know that Ren and I talked a few weeks ago about becoming on this Sunday, and I really feel especially blessed to be here today as you enter into this new time of transition. It seems a bit ironic then that actually Ren and I reconnected about 4 years ago at the interim ministry training. And a major theme of that training was that all church ministry is transitional. Transitional when churches are between pastors, and transitional even when churches have a settled pastor. The speakers at this training emphasize that we can see in Scripture very clearly that times of transition, times of uncertainty, are the norm for the people of God, not the exception. Exodus, onward and onward. Thus, my message to you today is to encourage you to remember the transitional, transforming work of God's Holy Spirit while, yes, Pastor Ren was here with you, as well as encouraging you to welcome the Spirit's work in and through this congregation that will continue during this transitional time and indeed beyond. For the God of Jesus Christ has called all of us, all of you, to be God's hands, God's feet, God's mouth. God's ministers all in this time and this place. And that has not changed because you don't have a settled pastor. For there are deeply hungry people in this community, longing for bread to eat and longing to also have their souls, their hungry souls, filled with the love of God and the love of a community that works in God's ways and is led by God's transforming spirit. Now, Jesus knew a lot about hungry people during his earthly ministry. As we see in our text today, hungry crowds are flocking to Jesus. The odd thing in the text is, if you read carefully and look at it in the context of Matthew's gospel up to this point in chapter 14, Jesus wasn't going out to feed a whole bunch of people. He was actually trying to get away from the crowds here. Things are not going particularly well for Jesus at this point. The scriptures tell us that before our passage, Jesus has been rejected by his hometown. He has come into the conflict with religious authorities of his day. The Roman puppet king has just killed his cousin, John the Baptist. Matthew makes it clear that Jesus moves to withdraw to a, quote, deserted place is a direct and immediate response to hearing the news about John's death. Is Jesus fleeing for his own life? Is he just trying to get some space in order to mourn the death of his cousin? The text really doesn't say, but what it does say is that thousands of people follow him into this deserted place. The text says that there were 5,000 men, not even counting all the women and children. And to put this in context, at the time of Jesus, only large cities had 5,000 or more people. The villages near the Sea of Galilee must have quite literally emptied out to follow Jesus. And they followed him far away from their homes into a place they would never normally go. And the essence is that these people don't care where Jesus is going. They want to be with Jesus. Now, why is that? Well, maybe they've been waiting for Jesus to complete his preaching and healing tour of the region, waiting for their questions to be answered. Hello, fly. As it lands on my nose. Waiting for their questions to be answered, their illnesses and infirmities to be cured, waiting with their hopes and their fears. Regardless, we know that the people of these villages were living under an oppressive foreign military occupation and were being ground into poverty by corrupt, violent leaders. There are people here hungry for hope, for healing, for God. And they hope to find it all in Jesus. And Jesus, in spite of his own desire for solitude, has compassion on them. But now the focus of the story turns to the disciples. Here in Matthew's gospel, nothing is said about the people, 5,000, many more, let's say 10 or even 15,000 people. The other thing is said about them actually being physically hungry or needing food to eat. Regardless, the disciples think that the hour is getting late and these people need to go along and, yes, get something to eat. As the text says, they say to Jesus, they need to, quote, buy food for themselves. Is this an expression of the disciples' genuine concern for the physical needs of the people? Or are the disciples just kind of tired of having these folks hanging around, maybe afraid the crowd will attract Herod's attention? Who knows? We don't know. But What we do know is that what Jesus says to the disciples, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. And if Jesus is saying that to our disciple, the disciples, then he's saying the same thing to all of us here today. For we, in this day and age and in this time and place, are Jesus' disciples. And Jesus says to us today, you give them something to eat. Now, I hope you will forgive me, O Lord and congregation. I'm going to do something theologically and ecclesiastically unacceptable and sort of put Pastor Wren in the Jesus figure story in our story. So please forgive me. I know it's very bad theology. But I hope you'll stay with me, even though Presbyterians totally do not believe that pastors are separated from the people. In fact, Presbyterians believe in the priesthood of all believers. We are all ministers of the church in one form or another, and no one, not even the pastor, is above the rest. But okay, bear with me in this twisted analogy. Sometimes congregations do put their pastors up on pedestals. We know that happens. God, despite all our Presbyterian beliefs to the contrary, I have heard many a church member ask after the pastor leaves, oh, what are we going to do now? Kind of like Jesus' disciples looking at the huge crowd in our gospel reading, not knowing what to do. Worse yet, in my opinion, I've heard so many church members say at times like this, on any sort of new idea, new ministry, oh, let's wait till the new pastor comes. Oh. I think Jesus bangs his head against some hard object in heaven every time a church member says that one. Can't you just hear Jesus shouting down from heaven like he did to the disciples? You give them something to eat. Far from being a time to refrain and hold back, now, in this time in the church's life, is a time to dream and to explore, to open oneself as a community to new possibilities and to God's Spirit working in new ways. This is a time of new life, not just a time of waiting. Yes, pastors are great at providing leadership and support, usually. But they are not the ones called to be the doers of the ministry of the church in this time and this place. All of you are. You live here. You know the community. You know the people. You give them something to eat. And again, Jesus didn't say to his disciples, oh, just wait until I get back before you do anything. I know, bad theology here. It's not wait until the pastor comes. It's now you give them something to eat. Jesus said to his disciples as he was going up to heaven at the end of Matthew's gospel, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even when you don't have an installed pastor. Yes, okay, I added that last part. But you get the point. The people in this community and around the world are hungry for food to fill their empty stomachs and for food for their souls. And because of Jesus, we, all of us, have the bread of life to share. To put it another way, you know, far better than I do, that there are people in very tangible physical need in this community. There are also those who long for meaning, connection, hope, and love. And Jesus says, yes, you're doing some wonderful things, but there is more. You give them something to eat. I know Pastor Renan rejoiced in how this congregation has become more and more engaged with the community around you and seeking to provide for the physical and the spiritual needs of the people in new ways, such as your piece of bread and piece of music. My encouragement to you is, don't stop. Do more. Pray for God to lead you into new ways of feeding those hungry people. But what can we do, especially now, you may ask? Well, let me close with this. Our scripture today tells us that when we put whatever we have into Jesus' hands, the real Jesus, we're done with that bad analogy of Ren. All right, put everything we have into the real Jesus' hands, God will do amazing things. See how our text says, Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, everything the disciples could scrounge up to feed those thousands and thousands and thousands of people. He looked up to heaven, he blessed and gave them the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowd. Where have we heard words like that before? Communion, has anyone heard of it? Thus God proclaims the truth in words and also in a very physical, tangible way every time we take of the Lord's Supper, that if we give what little we have into God's hands, God can do amazing things. Throughout this year, when you experience communion and worship, you will hear these 4 verbs from our text today. Take, bless, break, give, applied to the bread of the Lord's Supper. And at those times, I urge you to remember how the disciples put again everything they had, the 5 loaves and 2 fish, into Jesus' hands, and God did something so amazing. Oh yes, there are many, many hungry people here in our community today. And Jesus says to all of us here, you give them something to eat. In Jesus' name, amen.